Great. So I'm very excited to talk to you today about this new program where we've just started at the Mount Sinai Visiting Doctors program. And I just want to acknowledge my co-authors on this project. And my disclosure is I actually work for the Visiting Doctors program. Okay, so just briefly, the patients that I deal with are patients that are homebound. And as most of you here probably know, there's a variety of common pathways for becoming homebound, a variety of illnesses, and there are more and more people who are becoming homebound. These are individuals who are unable to access traditional healthcare services. The numbers estimated, although they're really just estimates, they are on the rise. Community-based surveys do suggest that they're older, female, widowed, in poor health, and generally people who have less social support. Now, there's different groups of patients that are homebound. We often think of the frail elderly, and indeed these are the majority, but there's also patients of all ages who are at the end of life. We also have patients with primarily psychiatric illness. Medicare's definition of homebound is able to leave the home only with great difficulty and for absences that are infrequent or of short duration. So that means these are patients who really get out just to go to the doctor or to the hairdresser if they're lucky. They really need assistance to go anywhere. Okay, so home-based primary care is one care option for patients that are homebound, and this is a growing option, and this is what I'm going to be talking about today. And sometimes we think of these as house calls, and it's really primary care done by physicians in the home. Now, as most of you are probably thinking, this is something we used to do, and that's true. We used to do this a lot. In 1930, estimates suggest that 40% of physician-patient encounters occurred in the home, and we think of the doctor with the little black bag, you know, going into the home. That changed. By 1980, this was a very rare event. However, in the 80s, as the growth of home health care, things have really changed. As physician home visits are reimbursable through Medicare, and there's a lot of changes in legislation to increase reimbursement and make some of those changes, it's actually grown home-based primary care, as has the entire home health care movement. So I want to talk about the Mount Sinai Visiting Doctors program, one of the largest home-based primary care programs in the country. And our goal is to provide the full spectrum of medical and psychosocial support to homebound adults. We also aim to alleviate caregiver burden and to provide palliative care services in the home. And finally, we also educate medical trainees on home care. So about our program, we've been around for 15 years. We actually were a resident-started volunteer initiative that has grown. We currently see 850 homebound patients. Over the course of a year, we see 1,100 to 1,200 patients. Physicians make routine and urgent home visits. If a patient is stable, they're usually seen every 2 months. If there are urgent needs, they're seen. If they're at the end of life, they're certainly seen more frequently. We make referrals to social workers who are part of the visiting doctors program. And we also involve nurses extensively. They handle referrals, they handle clinical triage, med refills. We use a web-based EMR system, and we have extensive collaborations, as you could imagine, with labs, pharmacies that can deliver to patients, and nursing collaborations such as visiting nurse services, you know, huge for us. And we certainly couldn't exist without this kind of collaboration to care for these patients. Just to give you a sense of how patients come to us, they're referred from anyone. We don't do any advertising. So community-based agencies, hospital systems, PSA, you know, we get referrals from all over the place. And a lot of patients, most of patients have multiple medical illnesses. A lot are referred for dementia. We also see a lot of patients who are frail and live in a walk-up apartment. In New York City, for those in non-urban areas, those are patients who might not be homebound, except they don't have an elevator and they can't get into their apartment, so they just are there. So we have a lot of patients like that, and we also have a lot of patients who just kind of refuse to get seen by a doctor. You know, they might go to the emergency room, but they just don't have any primary care. They just won't go see anyone. So somehow those patients come to us, as well as a variety of other illnesses. So our patients, it's a pretty diverse group, and that's reflecting the East Harlem neighborhood in which Mount Sinai is based. Most of them are elderly and female. About a quarter have Spanish as their primary language. We've found that only that a quarter of them have no friend or family member that really cares for them. Half live alone or live with a paid caregiver some of the time. A third are living in New York City public housing, and about half are on Medicaid. So we've had this program for a while. You know, it's been successful. We've grown. We think we're doing some amazing things. But we have some issues, and that's really where this project has come about. And that is, our program consistently has a wait list of more than 100 patients. That means that patients have to wait 4 to 6 weeks, months sometimes, to be seen, which, considering the kinds of patients we serve that really have no other options to be seen, it's really problematic. And we obviously triage them based on their needs, but we still have patients who really could use a visit, and they're just there. So we've really struggled with how can we serve this growing demand for home-based primary care in the community. Because now that people know about us, they want it. They're telling their friends. It's what do we do? And then the other issue is that programs such as ours really only cover, and this is generous, 20% of direct costs through billing. Okay, so obviously there's more systematic changes that need to be made in order to increase coverage and payment for such services. But we've thought for ourselves, how can we as a program be more cost effective while maintaining high quality care? So that's really what has driven this research project that I want to talk about today. So the goal for what we've called the team approach model is to expand our capacity to care for the homebound. So that's really increasing the panel size for each primary care physician in terms of the number of patients they can see, reducing our wait list, and decreasing wait time to enter the program so that it's within 3 weeks, because we feel like that's a reasonable amount of time for patients who are this ill. We want to really try to, in some way, improve the cost effectiveness of these models. And then we're interested, as always, in improving the care quality. So by using a team approach, we'd like to try to think about how we can intervene earlier for high-risk patients, and also increase patient as well as provider satisfaction. Working with patients like these is very difficult for providers, as I'm sure some of you in the room know. We have a lot of burnout issues with our physicians, and sort of that's something that we're always thinking about, since it's hard to find providers that want to do this kind of work. And as always, we think about, for our patient population, what more can we do to decrease hospitalizations and length of stay? So this is the team that we built. It consists of two physicians, a nurse practitioner, a social worker, and an administrative assistant. The goal is that this team together would care for 300 homebound patients at any given time. So the way it works is each physician would have their own panel of 150 patients. Normally at visiting doctors, a physician would have 100 patients at any given time. So this is sort of the increase. But all new patients would receive a social work evaluation. And normally at visiting doctors, it's referral only. We don't have enough social workers. They're all grant funded. So, you know, this is really about, can we, right away, the social work evaluation occurs. And we also have an office-based NP who handles all urgent care issues, post-discharge care, so as soon as they are released from the hospital, they're seen, and daily clinical matters really in real time. All new cases are reviewed in weekly meetings with all members of the team present. So any new patient that comes on service, all team members discuss them at length and think ahead about their issues. So to give you a sense of how this would work in terms of the cost effectiveness, on the left is our standard model. And so that's sort of the clinical personnel required per physician. So on the left, we have, for every one physician, we have a quarter of an NP, we have, I don't know, a little more than a third of a social worker. And the cost for that is $227,000, and over a year, we're able to serve 125 patients. The cost per patient is $1,800. Keep in mind, this isn't counting overhead, this isn't counting administrative expenses, this is sort of just the direct clinical personnel. The cost per patient is $1,800, and in revenue we can bring in about $80,000. Okay? The team approach model, as you see, the personnel required is a higher ratio. So the costs are higher, However, we're able to serve more patients annually, and the cost per patient is slightly lower. It's $1,500, and the annual visit revenue is potentially higher as well. So that's sort of the model sort of that we're setting up in terms of can we do this? Our evaluation plan, we really are tracking extensively. The service expansion, we have a patient satisfaction questionnaire for our patients, provider satisfaction and burnout questionnaire, and our plan to do a comparison of length of stay as well as total number of hospital admissions for patients in the team approach versus those in our standard care. So, results. Service expansion, we secured grant funding for this in October 2009 and launched the team. In 1 year, however, our team has only reached 60% capacity. So, as I said before, we aim to have 300 patients served by this team. As of yet, we've only had 183 patients. Biggest challenge for that is one of our physicians went on maternity leave. So, next 6 months, we are pushing along to get there. However, we have already reduced our wait list from 130 to 75 patients. Again, that's still higher than we want, but we're doing well, and we're able to see patients within a month at this point. Okay, so let's look at some of the quality care improvements. 88% of our patients receive an initial social work assessment. That's almost all. We've had issues just because sometimes patients die before we can see them, or sometimes patients say, I don't want a social worker. That's not what I'm here for, and that's how it is. Patients report that they know who to contact for their social work needs. This is a big deal. Most of our patients really only knew their physician before. Now they actually know they have a social worker. They know if the caregiver's having a concern about something, if they get some strange letter from their insurance company, they have someone to contact. The MDs are collaborating from the beginning with the social worker. So that means the physician will go into the patient's home, and during the weekly team meetings, we'll have a discussion and say, you know what, this caregiver seems really stressed out. I'm really concerned that, you know, she's going to fall apart and she's not going to be able to handle it, or I'm concerned that this person is going to need more home care hours. How can we start putting that into place? So from the very beginning, the social worker is involved. It's not just an urgent needs. And as a consequence, we're seeing less urgent social work referrals. Things still come up, bed bugs come up and things like that, but there's less of like, oh my goodness, here's this terrible situation, we got to fix it, and frankly, it's very difficult to fix these kinds of situations quickly. Okay, so the enhanced role of the NP, this has really been huge. 84% of our patients have been able to be seen within 3 weeks of their discharge from a hospital by this nurse practitioner. And there's obviously a lot of research about transitional care and how important this can be for outcomes for patients in terms of future admissions. And you know, we're just not able to do this in our standard care model. 100% of patients, while they're an inpatient, they're able to communicate with the primary care provider. So the nurse practitioner follows up with the inpatient team, lets them know anything that we know about the patients. And again, this is not something that we could normally provide as part of our home-based primary care program. Most of the patients are actually seen at home by the nurse practitioner. So that means that the patients not only know their physician, but they know this nurse practitioner as well. And that means that that there's two providers that know the patient's medical needs. They can discuss it. They can kind of strategize together. And patient calls are handled immediately by an office-based provider. So there's not a delay. Currently, in our current practice, providers are out in the field in the morning, they leave. So if a patient calls at 10 a.m. with some problem, they can't hear back from their provider until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Now we can handle things right away. Okay. Urgent visits are now made by the team provider, or half of them are. This is a major improvement for us because currently, in our current system, it's just a shared rotation. So, you know, maybe one out of every 20 times you might, you know, your own patient you get to see, but most of the time you can't see your own patients. And probably most importantly is we're able to see that a team approach such as this, we're really able to handle complex cases. Now, I would argue, of course, that any patient who's homebound, there's a pretty complex situation going on. However, really situations when there's a lot of education necessary for the family, when there's really a lot of situational changes that need to be made, and also especially a lot of end-of-life changes. A multidisciplinary team where there's a social worker, a nurse practitioner, physician that really knows the patient is really helpful in that kind of situation. In our satisfaction survey, our patients are reporting very high satisfaction with the team. And what we found is particularly important is this increased recognition of the nurse practitioners and the social workers. So it's not just about this is my doctor who cares for me, but they know other people. Our team actually received a special award from Mount Sinai just for their collaboration, so we're very proud of that. Now, unfortunately, because we have not reached full capacity, we have not yet evaluated provider satisfaction and burnout, which we're excited to see, although it's just a small group. We are anecdotally hearing, though, that our providers love being part of a team. Because you know what? When they have a tough case, they're not alone with that tough case. They have, you know, they say, hey, you know, the NP, can you come with me? Because I'm just not sure. And they have the social worker that knows and has been involved from the beginning. So we're really excited to see that. And we're excited to look at whether or not our work has helped with decreasing hospitalizations for this group of patients. So in conclusion, we think home-based primary care programs are wonderful. Patients seem to think so, but more cost-effective models are needed. So we're going to try to look to see how this pans out. When we reach capacity, if it does pan out, we'll probably restructure our program so at least we can maybe up our revenue a bit. And really, we've learned through this project how important multidisciplinary team approaches are in the care for complex patients. You know, we have our internists and geriatricians that see our patients are amazing, and they're wonderful, but really they need a multidisciplinary team to support them in these difficult situations. I just want to acknowledge our funders for this project, as well as all of the staff at Mount Sinai Visiting Doctors, and then the Division of General Internal Medicine and Departments of Geriatrics at Mount Sinai who support this work. Thank you.